It is Puzzling Evidence back again for a very special show with my two wonderful guests, Celeste and Danielle. And we're going to be talking about our favorite subject, sex. And would you like to introduce yourself?
I would love to.
Selves, please do.
All right. I'm Celeste Hirschman, and I'm a sex and intimacy coach, as is my business partner, Danielle. And we're going to talk about sex, erotic embodiment, some amazing men's and women's workshops we have, and let you introduce yourself.
So I'm Danielle, and I'm Celeste's business partner, and I'm a sex and intimacy coach, and we're going to talk about our coaching and workshop that we facilitate, and we would love to hear you and your questions, too.
That's right. At 848-4425, by the way, in the 510 area code. I'm curious as how you started this, how you got together.
Well, we can do a little background. I got my master's in human sexuality studies at San Francisco State University, and
I got my PhD from the Institute for Advanced Study of Human Sexuality in San Francisco.
And that's where we met. We were doing a class called, or a certification for sexological body work, mm-hmm. which is a kind of body-based erotic trance facilitation. And we met there, and we just thought, we need to create something out of this. We need to make some workshops. We need to make it accessible to everyone. And so that's what we've been doing.
Accessible and exciting.
And pleasurable.
That's and trance. I like that. Trance and ritual. Yeah. So then what?
So we met, and we thought we immediately liked each other very much. And we realized it will be great working together. And we created our first men's workshop on how to become an extraordinary lover, a workshop for men. And we teach men everything they need to know about what women like, how to please women, and what makes women happy. And it's a hands-on workshop.
So in the second half of the workshop, we actually bring in some women models, and we demonstrate different kinds of touch on them, and then the men get to practice with the models and get real-time, real-life feedback, which is something that men rarely get in this society. They're usually expected to know everything without a woman saying a single word, and we think that's a ridiculous expectation. So we break it down to them in a really clear, simple, straightforward way, like what drives women wild.
And then do you survey them afterwards?
In terms of what they've learned?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, it's so beautiful to see them at the end of the workshop. It's like their brains have been blown out of their heads. They're just like, I've never had a woman be so clear with me and direct about what she wanted. And to see women in so much pleasure and ecstasy and, you know, women who really know how to ask for what they want and enjoy it. So it's a great experience for men, and it gets them very excited about going back and practicing with their partners. And
we get men coming back to level two. We have level two about the G-spot, and we teach men everything about women's G-spot and the intensity potential around it and female ejaculation. And we have men coming back with notes from their wives telling us, thank you so much for your work.
One wife sent us a couple of flowers. We were so happy. Because I think some women worry, what? You're going to go to this workshop and you're going to touch other women? And there's so much taboo around that in our society.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, historically, older women taught younger men how to be good lovers. And so we're kind of taking that on. And, you know, the younger the better. If you start early, then you have a potential for many, many more years of fantastic sex and meaningful connection with women. And that's one thing that we really, you know, I think a lot of people think that men just want to go out and pick up and bed as many women as possible. And we find that men get pretty bored of that at a certain point. And what they really want is amazing, passionate, connected, sexual, and loving relationships with women. And so we have taken a class now. We have started a workshop now for men, like beyond the sort of pickup artist thing that's going on these days. It's like, what do you do once you've picked her up? So everything from picking her up all the way through to having this wonderful connected sex with women and connected pleasurable relationships and intimacy. So,
do men and women want different things? That's a whole.
Yes.
That's a wonderful can of worms. No, we love it. Exactly. We love to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have men coming to the workshop and saying, like, you're not going to tell us that actually every woman wants something else and you don't know the roadmap, right? Well, we actually do, but we're going to give you some tools and some ideas of how to find out what she really wants. And I think what really amazes men is what potential women have and how huge women's sexuality is and how many orgasms they can have. And very exciting for them.
So I think, you know, men and women, there are some different things that men and women want, and a lot of it has to do with sort of kinds of communication. One of the things we always talk about in our men's workshop is men kind of separate emotions into negative and positive, and women think emotions are usually positive experience, releasing, feeling, connecting on that level, whereas men are a little bit like, oh, wait, she's crying, that's bad, I have to make it stop, you know, and so we teach men about how to hold space for women where they can actually be emotional, and when you hold space for women in that way, mm-hmm. you also get to see the other passionate, exciting side of their intense emotional self. And so it's like if you can be there, you know, during the more difficult parts, you also get all of the bonuses of holding that space when she's ready to go wild.
And women usually become aroused after they had a good cry, so that's a good start.
Mm-hmm. So do I have to be in the Bay Area to go to one of these workshops?
No, we have people coming from all over the country, excitingly enough. We have people coming from
New Jersey,
Utah,
Ohio,
New York, Vermont. So, yeah, we love to.
This is definitely a growing movement. That's good to hear.
But you probably need to be able to fly in because we currently deliver the workshop only in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But we do phone coaching and email coaching for people who are further away and travel to LA sometimes, so we're gonna be traveling across the country. We can't wait. We can't wait to get our hands on everyone.
Email coaching. Is there a website where I can register? I'm only 24, but like you said,
the sooner the better.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's www.celesteanddanielle.com, and that's CelesteAndDanielle.com. CelesteAndDanielle.com.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. We can't wait to hear from you.
All right.
Go ahead, caller. Don't be shy.
I'm a baby fetus.
Oh, thanks.
I missed that.
Well, he's normally on my show at 3 a.m.
Oh, okay.
But I lost my train of thought there. The little baby fetus. What was I going to ask you? After the good cry, that's what I had this idea, and it just evaporated.
No worries.
Because that's how I used to argue with my mom. Actually, we didn't have any tools for dealing with what we were feeling, so we would both just explode and have a good cry, and after that, we could talk about it. We could actually be honest. But we had to go through that step first as a familial thing.
And that's the other thing that we also talk about in our workshops a lot, is that after you get that emotion out, then you can actually have the conversation. But if you try to have it in the midst of that emotion, it's going to cause huge problems.
Yeah.
And especially, so exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and especially if you're in that dynamic of all those buttons being pushed. Because you get to a point in a relationship you've had for a while, I think, where you can be just going over the same ground again and again because you haven't really stopped and gotten back to the thing that is, rather than go through this dynamic of just.
I always say couples have the same conversation until they have a different one. So
we
love to help couples, figure out what conversation are they having over and over and over and over again. Where are they stuck? And then how can we help them transform that conversation into something where they're both getting their needs met? Because obviously they're both trying to get something out of it, but it's not happening. So mm-hmm. we help people a lot with that.
And at some point, are you going to write a book? Are you going to collect all this stuff? Because you're at the crow's nest. You know, you're seeing all these people and all these problems. And it just, that's a wonderful place to be, because then you can just share that. You can push that out to the rest of us.
Yeah, we're currently writing a book for men based on our workshops on how to become an extraordinary lover. And part of what we do in the workshop is collect fantasies, because fantasies are the base of our erotic mind.
Mm-hmm.
And one day we're going to collect them all.
Yeah, I know. That's one of my favorites. I was thinking earlier about orange throwing. There was, for many years, I thought that I had somebody when I was a teenager told me that they got off on having oranges thrown at them. So I thought, okay, that's a joke. You know, they're just pulling my leg. And years later, I ran into somebody who said, no, that's how I get off.
I know, I've seen that in a movie too. It was an amazing scene. I can't remember what movie it was in.
And I thought, does it have to be oranges? Does, you know,
tomatoes?
Do
tomatoes work?
Yeah. Well, what are some of the fantasies you've heard of? that you can mention on KPFA 94.1. No, you can talk about everything here. There's nobody awake. It's midnight. This is a working culture. Everybody's asleep.
Trying to think of like one of my favorite fantasies. I think, you know, a lot of the men's fantasies have to do with surprise or something different, something that they've never experienced before. And I love, one of my favorites is that I love to talk about is this a man who told us about his fantasy where his partner said, "Oh, now you're going to be an ironing board, and I'm going to be the iron, and I'm just going to rub myself all over you." He was just really excited and surprised by it.
That just sounds so wonderful because it's so off the trail and so intimate.
Yeah.
Because once you're just rubbing it, you can just get lost in that, and you have the sort of permission to relax into that and not have to worry about penetration and all the standard.
Right, to actually feel your body. Because so often we think like sex is just boom, boom, boom. There's like these three steps that you take and then it's over.
Right.
And we encourage people to like really just slow down, take your time, you know, dive into pleasure, learn new things about your body that you've never experienced before. So we'd love to take people into the pleasure in their bodies and help them find new ways of experiencing pleasure.
I noticed on your website you were talking about erotic vacations. Is that the right term?
Passionate vacations.
So at first I thought I had this fantasy that both of you go with people. You know,
yeah,
we're going to Hawaii now.
Yeah.
So we'll watch.
It's a perfect idea. Who wants to be our first passionate vacation couple?
Yeah.
Where we're going to pack up our bags and we're going to go along to Florida with you.
There's like four people.
Caribbean. I love the Caribbean.
You're going to rent a hotel room. We're going to rent the one right next door.
And then, of course,
we're going to come in and tell you what to do next.
Yeah. Well, and you have to be with the clipboard and the white smock, you know, standing over the bed going, mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Which, of course, eight guys would get off on.
See, you have a fantasy here.
Fantasy. Yeah, well, we do invite couples to come to San Francisco and take a passionate vacation here. And it's like
this
that, but way less clinical.
Right,
but
of course.
We do give them amazing, you know, ideas.
So you give them a script, in effect, or how do you do that?
We help them talk to each other about what their fantasies are, and we help them create ideas that really fit into their own desires and fantasies and expand, and, you know, so we have lots of fun. Sort of
it's funny, it's always about giving permission.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in this place where the people are confused. They, how to put it exactly, they need that permission in a way. Or somehow being given externally is really helps.
I know. I mean, I've worked with couples who've been together for 40 years. They never told each other what they like in bed.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what? You know, you like me to bite your neck?
Right.
How come I don't know that?
Yeah,
40 years later.
Yeah. People kind of expect that they have this romantic notion that if he really loves me, he knows exactly what I want. Like, how would he?
Right.
And the same,
right.
And vice versa. And so there's not a lot of communication around sex, and people kind of expect to know what to do without, you know, like, surprise me.
Right.
Show me how much you like me or how much you love me. Surprise me. And we actually invite people to try to ask for what they want. And
to tell people how to surprise them,
yeah,
which I know sounds oxymoronic.
We just had this conversation before we came over about, like, how much people hold this notion, and then like just try one night to ask for what you want, and when you get it, you're still going to be surprised.
That's the amazing thing, because
sure.
when you get it, like, the surprise hits you on a visceral level, you know, so you've sort of communicated it mentally, but once it's there in front of you, you just feel it in your body, so
mm-hmm.
it's like still a surprise. It's so beautiful. So you can actually ask for what you want and still be surprised by it.
Because it's being translated through someone else too, so it's not going to be what you thought of. What you thought, think it is.
Yeah, I remember asking my partner
to
I had a birthday, and I asked him to have, like, flower petals, you know,
American
in the
beauty.
House. Yeah, why not? You know, I can have it, and some, you know, wine and chocolate. And
yeah.
I was surprised where he put the flower petals, you know. And I was like, the minute I stepped in, I saw the first flower petal, and
oh,
I was
cool.
like... Wow, you really thought about me, you know.
Yeah,
you went
yeah.
and collected them, and you really thought about me. That's what's
yeah.
awesome.
So
yeah.
even though she asked him for it, it took her breath away when she saw it. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, you were talking about that archetype. I always think of the 50s, although that's incorrect, really. But that sense of you fall in love with your, quote, soulmate, and everything after that is supposed to be perfect. It's just supposed to magically fit together. And so everybody goes through life, not everybody, these certain people will go through life just feeling terrible because it didn't. And they think, you know, what did I do wrong, or what's wrong with him or her?
Yeah, that's usually how it is. I picked the wrong person, or they're all messed up. You know, they blame it on their partner. But really, it's like people are real. You know, you have to. The fantasy is there if you don't imagine that it's perfect all the time, or that every moment that you're with your partner is perfect because you're finding out more deeply who they are.
Well, that goes back to the most important work that you guys do, and I think that anybody can be involved in themselves, which is that discovery of intimacy, mm-hmm. which is the most difficult work because. Because it is work, and we think it's supposed to just kind of like, bing, you know, magically be there somehow when things, like a combination lock, fit together. But
so it's actually discovery and enhancement of intimacy, because we teach couples and, you know, people in our workshops, men or women, to really create this intimacy with their partner and really connect on, you know, to bring presence, to allow themselves to show their desire with body language, and really to create the space for intimacy step by step, because people have no idea what it means, intimacy. Like,
yeah.
What is it?
Right.
Intimacy is messy. You know, I mean, everybody
yeah.
wants it to be like wrapped up in this perfect little
true.
Box,
yeah, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, that's not what it's like. You know,
no,
if you're expecting that, you're going to be
right.
very, very poorly, you know, disappointed. So we teach them about real intimacy. And
okay, I can see you there on the phone.
Well, you say that your cousin was your Zodiac killer, the person...
No, okay, just to get off the subject for a minute. My cousin was Paul Avery, who was the reporter
yes,
who
yes.
reported on the Zodiac, yeah.
You killed Dobbs?
I did kill Dobbs. But that's not until 3 a.m. Right now we're talking about much more important stuff.
Well, of course, you're probably talking about various past instances that are...
No, but I will.
We're talking about sex.
Exactly.
What could be
How
more
you,
important?
Exactly.
You should check out our website.
He's talking about religion.
CelesteandDanielle.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Enjoy and ask us a question. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, I had the experience recently of being with someone, and it was very confusing because it was both... I had it perfectly in my mind earlier today because it's somebody that I really liked being with, but was not sure where it was going to go, and that whole process of trying to open up was very difficult if I didn't know where this was going to lead. In this case, I didn't think it was going to lead to something stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So you felt like opening up somehow wasn't worth it, or...
It was the oddest thing, because we did... I did anyway. I can only speak for myself. I did anyway. And... That part was wonderful, because just to explore yourself helps. It doesn't matter where some parts of it, it doesn't matter where it goes. It's important to just take the steps, whether it works or not.
Absolutely.
And it failed. but it's all school. That's how I look at life these days. It's all school. The dance is important to do. And I just feel so blessed that I was able to do some of that.
I know, and I mean, every moment is learning. And the other piece is, like, you're talking about, you know, we're creating intimacy with ourselves. Like, we can't create intimacy with someone else until we create it with ourselves. So even you going
yeah.
through that process of opening, found a deeper intimacy with yourself that you're going to be able to share with someone else in the future who's
right.
ready to return it or to connect with it. So good for you.
It's
for
that
not closing
it's that
down.
Connection with humans
yeah.
that is so important. It doesn't, and this is beyond sex. Sex is a wonderful part of the dance, of course, but in the end, I think we all need to be aware of that connection with everybody else around us all
I
the
agree.
Time. And it's hard. Oh,
that's
it
why
hurts.
We call ourselves sex and intimacy coaches. You
yeah.
know, there's like
yeah.
sex coaches and then there's relationship coaches, but it's all related, and it's important to be able to talk about all of those things together.
Yeah.
And also people don't realize that sex is way bigger than, you know, organs and,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
And you know, the what...
That's
people call
the saddest
sex, you know, because when people just cross, you know, meet each other in the street, there is some exchange of sexual energy. You
yeah.
know, people look at each other, there's curiosity, there is like intimacy, even for a fraction of a moment.
Yes.
And then, like,
which
wow,
drives
I,
me crazy.
Yeah,
I do that all
person.
Day. I'm
yeah.
always walking around feeling sex. And you were on your website. You said something like that. You know, it, all the time. I'm biking through the city. Well, I was what I was laughing at was I was biking through the city, and all my life, and it's mostly on my bicycle over in San Francisco. I'll look up at an office building at night, and I think, how many people are screwing up there right now? Mm-hmm. You know, and that kind of thing you're talking about all the time.
Yeah.
I walk down the street, and I'm falling in love, in and out of love, for a second all the time. Or I love looking at couples and thinking, how do they do it? You know, how do they do it at all? Are they connected at all? Are they lucky enough to somehow have found that path?
Isn't it beautiful? It drives you crazy in such a wonderful way, right?
You're
like on
like
edge all the time.
Dynamic,
like I can feel,
right.
I can feel the world. I'm flirting with the world. I'm part of the world, you know? And I mean, sexuality at its base is our life force, right?
Yeah.
It's our desire to reproduce
it's,
life.
It's at the center of creativity.
Yeah,
yeah
it's what
yeah.
keeps us alive. It what keeps us creative and motivated in our life. And this is what we teach people all the time. It's like you get back in touch with your sexuality, your erotic power, your desire to live and to enjoy life. You know, it's not just about sex, it's motivating for every single part of your life, you know, for your work, for your family, you know, in every part. If you're dead sexually, you're kind of dead, you know. And we love to help people reawaken and reopen to that feeling that you're talking about of walking around in the world and just feeling intimacy in every moment with yourself and with
I think
the world
people,
around you.
Yeah, it's hard to do because we're told this is sex, you know, this that porn is sex.
Yeah.
And I remember as a kid seeing porno stands and thinking, okay, there are 8 ways to do it here, and that's it. That's all there is. You know, there isn't anything else. And no, immediately that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are only 2 sexes, and I remember thinking, no, that's wrong too. You know, that's not. I was so happy when I found out that there were other ways to do it, because it's like, oh boy, it's not just me. You know, there is this whole other rainbow in the world happening.
Absolutely. There's so many choices and ways to make love, and it is very limiting, the images that we have of that.
It's strange. I don't know why we package it quite like that.
I also see many people terrified from arousal. You know, arousal is like, oh my gosh, what would I do with it? It's so scary. And actually, arousal is this feeling of aliveness.
Hello.
You know, like,
hello.
Awesome.
Yes, hello. Yeah, it's powerful stuff.
This is Michael from Berkeley.
Hi.
And I would like to ask a question.
Please do.
On or off the air.
Okay.
Why do people think vibrators are so disgusting or shocking? Or?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I had this conversation today with a client, and she was really worried about pulling out her vibrator. When was she going to have sex? And I told her, why people think that vibrators are not natural?
You mean by herself, even?
By herself is fine, but with a partner, it's like, oh my gosh,
sure,
there's
sure.
something not natural about me needing or wanting
exactly.
a vibrator.
That's
it's orgasm.
Right.
And I told her, so why do you need a plate and a fork and a knife? It's not natural. You're supposed to eat with your hand. Or why do you have a haircut? It's not natural. You know, why do you wear clothes? It's not natural. So people have those feelings about, you know, vibrators are disgusting, you know, it's awful. But we actually think that vibrators are awesome because it allows women to have 10 more orgasms than they could, and it allows them to really enjoy
it,
and explode.
It touches on that competitive fear, maybe, of what I'm not sure what you call it, but it's sort of like if someone pulls out a vibrator, then maybe I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
We call a vibrator a man's best friend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, I mean, like, once everything else is tired, you still got the plug.
Exactly.
And you know, I think the thing that men don't realize is that we don't want to be alone with our vibrators. You know, we actually want somebody kissing us and touching us and holding the vibrator or, you know,
connecting with us.
Like, you know, watching us or just enjoying our pleasure with that. So, you know, it's not like it's the same when we're alone and when we're with somebody else. It's really quite different and amazing. So, yeah, we think vibrators are wonderful. Man's and women's best friend. They can be really a beautiful enhancement to sex or just something to enjoy.
But I think the caller might also be just touching on that deeper sense in the society, our society, that sex is disgusting, that mm-hmm. being out of control is
of
scary.
Caller, I'm still here.
I know. That's I know.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. And yeah, I think that's difficult in this society. We I'm not sure how to put it exactly, but we find those emotions too powerful to control or to be in touch with. Like you were saying, arousal is just hard to deal with.
Was it Michael? Is that your name?
Yeah. In
Berkeley. So did you have a bad experience where somebody like shamed you for using your vibrator? Or
a number of people just seem to think that it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's my Michael in Berkeley.
So I actually invite you to begin feeling, you know, like presenting it in a way that is like, me and my vibrator are one and inseparable, and this is how we go as a package. And it's not something that you have something to say about, because it's really about you allowing yourself to have what you want to have in a sexual encounter. I don't know how it makes you feel. Michael from Berkeley?
Yeah. Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm listening. I guess you have 7-second delay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you can't listen to your radio. They did put a delay.
Yeah, I'm listening to the radio on one ear and the cell phone on the other.
That's a bit confusing.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if you got a chance to check out our website, too, because we have a lot of information on there.
Yeah, good idea.
www.celesteanddanielle.com. That's and is spelled out in the middle of our name. So we would love for you to check it out and email us, too, if you have more questions about vibrators, because we can talk about vibrators for hours. We have all different sizes, shapes, colors. We actually talk about vibrators a lot, too, in our women's workshop, the Inner Beauty Makeover, and we're going to be having that.
Why don't you talk about that, the Inner Beauty Makeover subject, because that I found fascinating and don't really know much about it.
Yeah, that's going to be in July, so we'd love for you to come along on the 14th and 15th of July. But so often in this culture, women think that in order to be attractive, they need to fix their hair, their face, their breasts, their their eye makeup. They need to go shopping. And it doesn't matter
how. You
can
shop at Good Vibrations.
Yeah, that's a good place to shop if you want to feel more beautiful, because beauty actually comes from the inside out. And if your eroticism is completely shut off, it doesn't matter what you do to your outer form. In the long run, people aren't going to feel your sensuality and your sexuality and your embodiment, and it's not exciting. So we help women really get into their inner beauty and into their sensuality and their desire. So many women are detached from their desire, and we want to bring women back into their bodies and out, not looking at themselves in the mirror and watching themselves from outside of a sexual experience, but actually fully experiencing their body and their sensuality and their sexuality. And that's
think
what
of
we
England, dear.
Teach. Exactly. That's what we teach in our 2-day interview.
I'm not very computer literate, and I wonder if there's some non-computer way I can get in touch with this.
With you guys?
Yeah. I have a phone number.
Okay.
It's 415 336 3258.
What was that?
3258.
3258. Okay, thank you.
No problem. So I'm up after midnight now, but I don't take any calls after midnight. I'm sleeping. So call me during the day, and I would love to talk with you. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I was just talking with somebody about the swagger we were talking about. Oh, because I just watched Casino Royale, the newer Bond movie, and Johnny Depp. That was the other thing. All women are required to love Johnny Depp. That's the rule of the universe. And there's a swagger that I don't know if Depp has it, but some people, but all sexes have, and that it's just fun to watch when you see somebody doing that, when they're sure of themselves, they're centered. And you see them cross the street or cross a room, and it's just so fun to watch because it's so confident. And there's this immediate pull toward them. It's like, at the very least, you want to know how they do it and where they got it. And that's fun. That's fun to put on too. I can put that on sometimes, and it's really great to just drop it in the middle of a thing, because you don't have to even feel it, you know, completely inside yourself. You can act it out, and it's just as powerful, and it's fun to watch to interact with people.
Yeah, the difference is if you play it out, it's just good for the people, but if you really feel it, it's good for you too. You know,
That sometimes I guess I'm addressing the fact that sometimes you can't do it. You know, there are things in your life going on, and you're tired, or you're under great stress, but you can still sort of put this mask on and for a minute remind yourself of those moments before and after, and they'll come again when you'll be like that. There it's like acting. It's you know, as a girlfriend of mine once said, you know, she wanted to get this wonderful I think it was an Indonesian bed that had sliding panels so that when you could be in the bed and close all the panels. Mm. And we were talking about how it's a stage. You know, it's a really wonderful stage, and I had thought that since a kid. Again, that went back to when I was a kid. I thought, okay, so that's sex can only be done in a bed. Okay, you know, that doesn't make any sense. But and then I found out, no, that's not true at all.
I love the image too of you saying, you know, those moments when you're down and you actually just try to walk in it for a while.
Yeah, to remind yourself it exists.
Right, and when you do, it's kind of like acting at first, but then you start to step into it, and then you feel it in your cells and you feel it in your body. So it's a beautiful exercise to just be like, okay, I know things aren't going so well right now, but I'm just going to jump into this skin for a moment and see if I can, you know, remember what it feels like in my body to be excited and open and loving and ready. And slowly but surely, you get back to excited, open, loving, and ready.
So, yeah, exactly. It's pulled me out of depression just to, it's sort of like walking a path and a familiar one, and you can get yourself there by acting at first, but especially if it's like training. Training is, in anything, is so important. Training.
And how would you help someone, how would you help your partner get there if she was in some state of depression and from a cultural background that perhaps does not particularly value intimacy?
Sure.
That is an issue. I think I'm actually headed into depression. I mean, it's gotten to a point, and this is not just my partner. She's my fiance. And and it has been exceptionally frustrating, and, you know, it's really just reached a peak. You know, I cannot believe the timeliness of the show and the conversation here. I was almost thinking, wow, it's a divine intervention here. And this is it, you know. I mean, my sweetheart has achieved orgasm only with herself, and even her form of masturbation is something that I have never seen before. I thought, well, yeah, I mean, it's somewhat unusual. And I mean, through clitoral stimulation, G-spot, it can, you know, it's almost getting there. And she just refuses to go, refuses to let go. You know, you had mentioned female ejaculation. I mean, it's like, wow, it's going to happen. And the next thing is, no, I can't. It's kind of like, you know, don't care. It's me down here. If somebody's going to get it, I'm going to get it. Now let it go. and it's, you know, it's just not helping. Yeah. Bottom line, do you guys do something with couples? I have no idea if she would ever, you know, be up to that. But
it's worth a try.
It certainly is.
If you're going to spend your lives together, absolutely.
Well, you know, and that's it. And to me, sex is extremely important. But it's not just a matter of getting off on my partner. It is a matter of us having this mutual together and
beautiful.
That intimacy and sharing that together. And after 3.5 years, it's not only gotten rather frustrating, but, you know, I've never had this issue with anybody else, so now I'm starting to even have a little bit of an ego issue, I think, here.
Sure.
So, ladies, is there something like that that, you know, if I were to call or something, we could discuss that
sure.
further.
Yes, thanks for calling, because we get lots of people experiencing what you experience, and we help couples regroup and reconnect around sexuality and really find a way to release the orgasmic power. And many women have... many women experience challenge around orgasming with a partner, because it's very different from orgasming when you masturbate, when she masturbates. So we definitely work with couples around achieving orgasms and around connecting and around releasing the orgasmic energy and around intimacy. So it all comes together.
Okay.
And I think it's so important what you said too about, you know, sometimes our cultural backgrounds or our teaching in our, you know, our younger life teaches us that sex is bad or dirty or awful or shameful. You know, so her ability to release, I mean, is so tied up in those messages. And so there's some healing that needs to be done, and we do so much healing work with women and men too who have been what I believe is abused, sexually abused by this culture. Because, you know, to grow or other cultures, you know, to grow up in a sex negative culture is to be sexually abused. And so, and we all grow up in a sex negative culture, and we all have healing to do. And I mean, we would love to support you and your partner in that healing.
Well,
can
you give me just an idea of how you would go about what would a session or a series of sessions entail for a couple that came to you with this specific issue?
Absolutely. So we always start off with an initial session where we talk to each of you separately for a little while, and then we bring you back together and begin the communication and intimacy work. And we do everything from, you know, talk, visualizations, all the way through body-based approaches. And so we will meet you, you know, wherever you are and help you through these different levels. There's, you know, there's the healing piece, which usually needs to happen first. And then we're able to take it to the, you know, orgasmic and sexual enhancement piece. And
we also help you communicate and find new ways to communicate and talk about what you want, talk about what you desire. Find the safety in communicating around sexuality and really see that your partner is there for you to listen and to accept and to hold you and grow together.
We have lots of tools to help women get over that edge.
Well, you know, it is that right now we need healing. You know, it's gotten to a point where it has become, you know, a real issue where there's been communication breakdowns now.
Mm-hmm.
There's been barriers put up between us.
Yes.
Because there's so much tension around, so it feels like, you know, walking on eggs.
Know what? That's exactly the terminology that she used.
Uh-huh.
Is she feels like she's walking on eggshells.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, and part of that's my fault because my frustration has now moved into anger and impatience and irritability. And so I brought that down, not being big enough to be able to deal with this after, you know, almost a year now that we've been going through this.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely want you to be gentle with yourself too, because it's, you know, going through that for such a long time, it can build up and it can be really difficult. And sometimes we don't have the tools to talk about these things and move through them. And it's nice to have somebody else from the outside kind of be like, okay, let's...
We need it. I mean, we
look at
need
this,
an
you know.
Impartial, unbiased... coach.
Yeah.
You know, we need a ref in there or something.
We would love to ref for you.
Okay.
You can email us at info@celesteanddanielle.com.
I'm going to check out your site right now.
Okay, great.
Yeah, sounds
wonderful.
Good. Well, thank you all so much. I very much appreciate it. My name is Mark. I'm from Napa. I'll be in touch.
Mark, we look Hi, forward
Mark.
To hearing
all
you.
All right. Thank you, ladies. Good night.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
There's a kind of wonderful feeling you must get from at the other side of these things. I mean, they don't all work out, but...
They mostly
somehow.
Do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
because you can impart. What he was talking about is the most important thing, that communication. Because that's what I was saying earlier. The dynamic becomes one of argument, and you can't break out of it together.
Until you do.
And you need to get that outside permission or pathway.
And tools, because people, again, don't have tools. They don't have permission to talk about sex and communication and feelings, and they don't have tools to do it. So we... give them permission, acceptance, understanding of their feelings, and tools to really talk about what they feel and go past this phase.
And when you say, you know, what it looks like on the other side, I mean, it just brings tears to my eyes even thinking about it, because it's so beautiful to see people, you know, become joyful in their relationship again, or, you know, orgasm for the first time when they've never orgasmed before.
Wow, yeah.
Just like, you know, amazing, amazing experiences to be present for. It's beautiful, and it's emotional, and it's joyful, and yeah.
So what other workshops do you do? You want to talk about the And I do separate ones for men and women.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so we have our men's level one workshop coming up on the 24th of June. And that's a one-day workshop like we were talking about, where the first half we teach about communication, intimacy, confidence. And the second half they actually get to practice. We demo and they practice hands-on with women in the workshops. And then that's sort of like a 101. And then we also have level two and three. So level two is with the G-spot and a little bit more intensity. And we talk about toys. You know, the woman brought in up the vibrator. Mm-hmm. And then in level three, I'm not sure if I can even say some of the words that we talk about in level three. But we get behind it all. Let's just put it that way. We do some spanking. We do some role play, fantasy play.
And some anal play.
Yeah.
Cool. So, it's a great, all three of those workshops are great, and they're all kind of coming up in a row now in June and July. So if you take the level one, you can take level two or three or both of them. Level one is the prerequisite, though, because you have to have the basics before you go to the fun, the extra fun stuff.
And you say you're going across country? You're going to take this across the country?
We would love to. We don't have plans for that right now. Now we're doing it in the Bay Area, but we would really love to. And then we also have a couples workshop, Enter the Realm of Desire. So we're kind of like, sometimes couples, the number one thing they complain about together is just boredom. Like, we do the same thing over and over and over again. It's so monotonous. So we want to bring in like fantasy and a little bit of power play and just a lot of like playfulness and role playing and a little basic bondage and those kinds of things. So people who don't want to go out to a dungeon but want to experience some of those things in their bedroom and just play with them, because it's so much fun. And there's so many good toys that you can bring in. So we have a couples workshop for them. That's August 11th.
Yeah, and I want to add about the importance of communication around it. It's like couples are like blown away of how they communicate after this workshop. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that that's what you want.
Yeah, so it's not just fantasy and fun. It's like it creates this depth that, you know, of connection, because when you really share your fantasies with your partner, we so rarely do that. It creates this, you know, whole different level of connection and
and again, for the same reason, people don't share their fantasies because they're afraid that it's competition, they're going to be judged, that are you crazy? That's what you think about?
Yeah.
And fantasies are essential.
Yeah. They're
there for a reason. They're there for transformation. They're there for healing.
Yeah. Hence the collection of them. I can't wait to read that one. Because I have this joke that I've had since I was a kid where whatever the wildest thing I can think about, there are already 900 people that have done it.
Isn't that beauty of it?
Yeah,
I mean, and now
yeah.
you can find them all on the internet.
Well, yeah.
There's communities popping up all over of people who only get off when they blow up balloons. And, I mean, it's just beautiful. It's
right.
Like, you can always meet a whole bunch of people who are into the same things that you are, or similar things. And I just think that's great. I mean, why should we be isolated and feel like we're weird or crazy?
Yeah.
And actually what we find is fantasies are kind of like a creation of our culture, too. And we see kind of like similar themes for men and similar themes for women. So it's really interesting to see. We actually use the fantasies to show a little bit what women want and what men want to demonstrate it.
Yeah.
So we have another workshop, the Inner Beauty Makeover.
We
talked about it, and it's for women, and it's coming up in July 14 and 15. And it's the first day, it's a two-day workshop. The first day is really about getting and tapping into this depth and resources of femininity inside you, and, you know, like allowing the goddess within you to come out. And the second day is getting familiar with your body, experiencing like, how do you look like? So there's work around body image. I don't know even one woman who doesn't have body image issues. Mm-hmm. So it's work around body image, and then we teach women to get in touch with their G-spot and find out more about it
and grow.
Grow
about their vulvas
and
sexuality. So
love that. And the last one it's kind of a newer workshop, and it's called Take Charge, and it's for men. We call it Your Life-Changing Journey from Picking Her Up to Creating a Hot, Meaningful Connection. So we talk a lot about, like, pick up, you know, you can pick up and pick up and pick up, but then what the heck do you do with her, you know? Like, what now? What next? And I think a lot of the pickup artists are like, you know, it's a lot of like tricks. Like, oh, I'll just dangle this shiny thing in front of her face and maybe for a second she won't notice while I grab her, you know? It's like, that's the kind of stuff that I see being taught. And I think that's not people showing their authentic selves, you know? So at some point, they're going to see what you're really like, and they're going to be like, wow, that's not what you looked like when you picked me up with that shiny thing, you know? So let's teach people how to actually bring their strengths into picking up and relating with women instead of sort of making up a persona that's not even who they are. And not, you know, women really want to see what a man can actually offer them when they're in these initial interactions. And women can read a lot, and if it's phony and, you know, fake, then it's not, unless she's drunk and doesn't want anything else but tonight, it's not really going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So we want to help men who actually are interested in having sort of meaningful, sexual, hot connections with women to come take this two-day workshop. And it's July 21st and 22nd.
And if you think about like how long it takes you to really form some kind of thoughts about the person in front of you, it takes maybe like less than a minute. So if you're just faking it, you know, it's not going to work. She's going to really see who you are behind those, you know, fake sentences. So we're really about building confidence and understanding your qualities and bringing them up and feeling confident about being who you are, finding out what you want.
Women really, if we want to talk about what women want confident men. Okay, that doesn't mean bullies or jerks. You know, I think they, you know, nice guys think that like what women want is jerks or bullies. It's not true. They just want the confidence that jerks and bullies unfortunately happen to possess.
Well, or seem to, yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
Or seem to. And it, they're really masking a lot of...
It sort of goes back to the bad boy thing.
Exactly. This
and
is
I think
what I'm talking about.
Bad girls, too, because
yes.
I was always attracted to bad girls when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And or a perceived sense of that, you right. know, that person would be like that.
And I think for men, the bad girl is more like this wildness and freedom, you know, of sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of like the opposite of what we teach women. It's like, you know, women don't men don't necessarily want the bad girl, but they do want women who are self-possessed and can communicate
the
about their sexuality,
same,
who have the confidence.
I think it's just a universal human thing. We're attracted to people that it's genuine and it's coming from inside.
Yes.
And it, you know, that doesn't matter, I think, in any sex. It just is there. That's what I was saying earlier, but sometimes just putting it on as a cloak for a while, you know, you can do that and the energy feels better.
Yes.
And if you're centered in it, it's the best. Yeah.
And there's ways to gain confidence,
yeah.
you know, and learn it. And we love to teach it in pleasurable, fun, exciting, passionate ways. And, you know, it doesn't have to be like a chore. Where
oh,
you have
no,
to stand up in
fun.
Front of a million people and try to give a speech or something like that.
No,
we teach them how to have a good time while they're doing it. I want to say, can we say our website again?
Yeah.
www.celesteanddanielle.com. That's CelesteAndDanielle.com. So we'd love to have you check out our website.
So I think one of the things that, you know, like some things are totally unexpectable unexpected in our coaching. And, you know, we'll go with people to bars and teach them to pick up, and we'll do role plays with around intensity and telling what you want, and we'll do
so
lots of
stuff.
So
that's really
fun. Like,
I could go to a
fun.
Bar and I would have the two
a
of
coach.
You in
You're
lab
still
coats
with the two of us.
lab coats and clipboards.
We've got our lab coats.
That's the
and
only
clipboards.
Way I can get off.
That's what we always wear to a bar anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
We also have timers.
Yeah.
I have a yellow one.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
Okay, begin picking up now.
But we do like to actually really engage with our clients in sort of a real-time
That's
way so that
cool.
they can,
yeah.
you know, experience, okay, what does intensity look like? What is it, you know, am I confident right now? And we give you feedback, okay, this is what feels really confident and this is the way that you can improve. So it's not just like sitting around talking. It's like, no, let's actually go through these experiences of intimacy and intensity and, you know, what it feels like to hold those different spaces. And
yeah.
And whatever you learn through your body, through your experience, is way stronger than if you just engage it from the
training,
talking
training,
head.
Training, exactly,
yeah.
exactly. Body memory is powerful stuff.
Especially around something like sensuality or sexuality. I mean, how are you going to learn it in your brain?
Yeah.
You know, that's why our workshops are always experiential. They're always hands-on when possible, and yeah.
Oh, go ahead, caller.
When you pick up a role, you better be sure you know what you're doing. That guy that was talking about the walk.
Yes.
Is that walk kind of like a strut, kind of like a pigeon strut?
Sometimes, sure.
Well, do you know what that walk is?
Not yet.
Well, I used to be a junior high librarian, and this teacher and I decided we wanted to learn that walk.
Okay.
So we went to one of the students, and she said, "Oh, you can't do that, Mrs. I won't give you my name. That's
well, yes.
That's a pimp walk."
Oh, okay. Well, you know where I got it? I was a drum major. And I found that being a drum major would do that.
Well, I think your students were wrong. I think you can do the pimp walk. I hope that you have gotten out there.
Well, as long as you know what you're doing, it's fine.
Yes, yeah.
We didn't. Can you imagine teachers in the school room?
No, and it, no, because you don't need to. You're already in that position.
No, you don't have to do it at school. I just meant, you know, at home.
Right. Okay.
In the living room.
Thanks.
You bet. Thank you. No, you're absolutely right. It really, it's just about confidence. It doesn't have to be. The pimp walk is great, but that's like Rudy Ray Moore. That's what I always think of. Do you know that guy? It's a wonderful black comic from the 60s that for me epitomized the pimp walk. Because he was lampooning it in a way.
Right.
But you're right. Sure. That's like I have these golf shoes. They're present day golf shoes, and my dad kept saying they were pimp shoes. They're just saddle shoes. But in his world, I guess they were pimp shoes.
They were.
But the pimp walk, the pimp walk can be that thing. I was talking more about the walk that, say, John Wayne invented for himself, that kind of thing. The a little bit more understated than a pimp walk.
No,
but
there's a way that you can hold your body that really shows confidence.
One of the things that
we teach a man hug, you know, in our workshop, like how to hug a woman so that she really feels your power and your masculinity and your confidence.
Yeah. One of the things I always notice about people is how they carry themselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can and they don't always, you know, walk the same way, but you can tell a lot. That's going back to San Francisco city streets. I just sit and watch people. It's endlessly fascinating. And when they're lost in the day, sometimes they kind of go to a natural state. They're just themselves for a little while because they're thinking about what they're going to do later and what they're going to do at the job.
And this is what people are actually really attracted to, body language. You know, that's like a first impression. And you can tell when somebody's really in their body by the way they hold it and the way they stand and the way they move. So, you know, we help people to really get into their own sensuality and their own movement.
What else? Oh, I've got to tell everybody where we are. We're at KPFA 94.1 and 89.3 at KPFB 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, KPFA.org all over the world. And I guess we just joined KZFR in Chico about an hour ago.
Wow. You've got it all.
Yeah.
And we're Celeste and Danielle.
www.celesteanddanielle.com.
Yeah, so come check us out because we... You know,
what was the name of the documentary that we were talking about earlier that I love and something, love and desire, love, that was on the website?
I think it was just called the Love Documentary.
That's right.
And might
that
be
was
part of something
fascinating.
Called the Love Project or something like that.
Yeah,
the
Love
Project.
And
this beautiful, wonderful man is interviewing all of these different philosophers
mm-hmm.
and coaches
yeah,
and, you know, everything about love. And I loved watching it. I loved participating in it. And we've also done a documentary on polyamory. And we're going to be teaching a workshop at Harbin Hot Springs at the end of in October.
Okay. Oh, nice time of year to be up there.
And we're going to teach it at the polyamory conference. And it's going to be on how to have a hot threesome.
So. And we're going to facilitate the workshop in Good Vibrations, too. We have three upcoming workshops in Good Vibrations, one for women.
In the city?
Sometimes
they're
in
the city, sometimes they're in Berkeley.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And they're all on the calendar.
Good Vibrations calendar.
The Good Vibrations calendar. But, hot threesomes, because we know, you know, so many people have fantasies of, well, two women in white coats watching them.
Yes.
Clipboard.
So that's one potential threesome fantasy. There are so many other potential threesome fantasies.
Right.
So how are you gonna, you know, how can you make them work if you, you know, couples a lot of times are looking for a third to play with, and so we want to talk about, you know, how to negotiate that and how everyone can have a good time, and of course special threesome sex tips too, because again, you got to know what to do with them once you pick them up.
Yeah, I'm remembering personal memories of setups where I knew both people involved, but the third person didn't know she was being roped into
a threesome.
Yeah, until it was too late.
Too late.
it was great fun, but again, that acting. I think in your website you were talking about. Oh yes, you were talking about one of the exercises being putting on a different personality,
mm-hmm.
and going out. I guess for people that know each other, but you would. As a couple,
yes.
And you would go out,
uh-huh.
And you would go out, and I'm not the person that you know. I'm this other person. You're going to have to deal with that, and that's wonderful. That's great because it breaks down all those boundaries mm-hmm. that you've set up yourself.
It's so much fun. It's one of my favorite games. I just love it because it's like I can be whoever I want to be. I can be, you know, like somebody shy and out of town, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I can be, you know, crazy and wild or then, you know, I mean, you can be anything, a personality that you've never tried before. And then your partner has to come and see if they have a chance at you. You know?
Yeah, it's not.
I always tell women not to be too easy, you know, if their partner's trying to pick them up. They got to make them work for it a little bit.
And the partners have total different personality, too. So you need to find out if you like them at all.
Yeah.
With a new one.
And we've gotten such great feedback from our clients about it. Just like they've had so much fun. You know, they'll play it all night long. Like pick them up at the bar, take them to a party. Even one like told all of his friends, okay, you need to call us by these different names tonight. so it was just great.
I just saw a Brazilian movie. It was a little short thing about that. And it was the most amazingly done thing where a husband and wife. The wife became the kind of woman that the husband always wanted, and so he rejected her, that because it was so scary for that to happen,
mm-hmm.
It was all shot on the Altiplano, so it's flat. She get out of the car, I hate you now, you know, and he drives off. And then of course he feels bad and drives up just as another car is driven up, and she gets in that car and leaves,
mm-hmm.
and that's the end of the movie. And it was just so powerful, like. See, sometimes...
Careful what you wish for.
I turned off the TV just sitting there. That was so erotic and so amazing. Because sometimes things... That's part of what arousal and all those things can be very scary. Because sometimes what you find out is not what you think. I mean, probably every time. It's not what you think. And sometimes it's going to open up new doors that are difficult to deal with. And you're going to have to grow to accept those things.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree. A lot of people think that they know what they want, and once they get it,
yeah,
like,
it's just
what
sort of
do
like,
I
I'll just
do
put
with
it in my pocket. Yeah.
Help. I'm just gonna,
yeah, and it's powerful stuff. It's alchemy.
And
yeah.
Not all fantasies are meant to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Some of them just exist in our minds for our alone time.
But that's growth. That's the thing. It's if you're centered, then you can deal with even the most strange opening, I think.
I absolutely agree. That's what I mean. We are constantly talking about presence, you know, because that's part of like being centered and then being present for another person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when somebody else is telling you their feelings or their needs or their experiences, it doesn't mean you have to change yourself. You know, I think that's what people get so anxious about, and they completely lose their center and their ability to be present.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can realize that somebody can have their feelings and experiences and you can still, you know, be present and have yourself, like you don't have to change in response to their feelings or experiences, then you can be centered and you can be present and you can actually give them what they're asking for, which is not for you to change, but for you to listen, you know,
yeah.
For you to be there, for you to love them. You know, that's what people are asking for when they start
the
pointing
key,
the
right,
finger.
The hardest one. I mean, yeah. It's hard for me to do, and I have to consciously stay on it all the time to listen,
mm-hmm.
just to listen. And it's magical once it happens, once the process gets going.
And you know, sometimes just realize it's not about you, actually. You know, even if it's like feels like a rain of criticism,
yeah,
it's not
yeah.
about you.
Yeah, it's a yeah, exactly.
So you can see where but you get to. It's a beautiful learning experience because you get to see where your buttons are.
Yeah.
When somebody says a litany of things that are terrible about you,
right.
And some of them bug you and some of them don't, you get to go, you know, what do I think about myself here?
Yeah,
so
and also you're listening to. I don't know how to put it. You're listening to that person talk about themselves,
yeah.
And if you can hear that, then it's wonderful. And that's the part of the couples counseling I think that
mm-hmm.
is probably pretty magical for you guys. If somehow they can understand that not it's hard to get out from under that when you're in a couple. Everything sounds so personal. It's all,
yes,
it all goes on for days. I'm thinking about what was said, and it's them talking. It's not you hurting. You know, it's them saying out loud stuff. And some of the things that hurt, it's because they hit a nerve, because you know there's something true. It doesn't have to be what they said, but something real is there, and that's why it's going to sting for a while. You're going to have to kind of balance that out.
Yeah, you have to really say, okay, wait, what part of this is me, and what do I want to do about that, mm-hmm, you know, and what part of this is your piece, you know, and sort of like having those conversations is figuring that out.
It's like the two of you Rolf people, you know, that thing of just, it really, exactly, you know, and it's like, wow, because when you hit it, it lasts for a lifetime, maybe.
Yes.
You know.
It's a great investment in your,
yeah,
in yourself, in your relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we can, so there's some
lifetime.
Old, there's always, there's, we build up these knots, you know, that are in
a
response
lifetime
to our experiences, and we, sometimes we need to get them worked out, and around sexuality, it's more or less inevitable, considering that our culture is so sex negative, and so we want.
Are there any sex positive cultures? It's funny because I'm sure there are in the past that don't. We don't. You know, we just don't know. And I'm always trying to figure out why are we so. So here's this wonderful thing. It's like the first time I saw. I can still remember the first time I saw somebody flip the bird.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding what it physically represented, and then kind of coming back and going, but I thought that was a good thing, you know? Why is that a bad thing?
Right.
I thought that was a good thing. And so we kind of mush the, and all the cuss words have to do with these good things.
Right, exactly. Whenever you say something bad about somebody, you're actually talking about sex. It's so terrible. It's like,
yeah, it doesn't
why
make any sense.
Yeah, we do. Well, you know, in human sexuality, we always study these obscure cultures that have equality and, you know, sexual
anthropology,
sexual freedom,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and all,
yeah,
of those kinds of things. You know, that they exist. They're small. they're being taken over. They're forced. They're being cut down or whatever. You know, like we like to do. But there, I think that it can exist. It has existed. There are cultures that exist right now that are even larger, you know, cultures, where it's much better than it is here or than it is in some other places.
Yeah, more balanced. I used to spend a lot of time out in Navajo country, and it was always fascinating because it's a matrilineal culture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if things are, quote, better, but they're different. And way back in the traditional parts of the res, it's fascinating what the difference is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I was able to get in there, strangely enough, I was close to a family of girls in a sawmill, and I would let them drive my car if they would take me to their cousins who didn't see white people at all. So we would go back there, and I became very close with a grandmother back there, and it was the most wonderful time to understand the rules that came along in a society where women were writing them down.
Yeah.
Because, And they're again, they're tiny. Those parts of the res and that part of the culture is small because the interface is so strong. They're surrounded by a much stronger culture, and so I don't know how much longer that. Well, they've lasted for a while. They'll go on.
Yeah, they'll go on.
Like the Hopi, the people they surround, they're my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
There, it's sort of an equal thing. It's fascinating out there. I just love it out there. But partly because I will never understand it, and that's why I like going out there.
Yeah, I think there are cultures that are much more equal. And I mean, if you look at people's sex education systems, for example, you know, in the United States, we have like the highest STD transmission of any industrialized country.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's like 9 times higher than it is in the Netherlands, and you know, because because we're teaching abstinence only to our kids. We teach them that, you know, only about failure rates for condoms and other forms of birth control.
And also,
we teach them don't do it.
Competitive thing. All the time. Everything around us is. I mean, I was laughing with my dad at one point about we are the great Satan. I mean, how. we say abstinence, and then you open up the New York Times and there are 3 underwear ads, you know.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the contradictions
like,
are endless when it comes to sexuality in this culture. Endless. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's everywhere,
do
you
it,
know, but we're not going to talk to,
yeah,
you about it. You're just going to, you know, be bombarded with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Images, images, images.
Right.
We find lots of women experiencing challenges around boundaries because they never learn to say yes to pleasure. So they don't know how to say no when it comes to something that they don't want. So we work a lot about helping women and men understand their boundaries, what is okay for them, what they really want, what doesn't work for them.
Yeah. We don't give girls in this culture a sexual yes.
No.
They have the only choice is no, and eventually that means no becomes yes, you know? And it's no wonder that there's so much rape and coercion and those kinds of things, because girls, if you know, and we've, I worked for a research institute for years, and what we found was that girls who have a yes, the girls who have been taught something about their sexuality and that they deserve pleasure and those kinds of things, are much more likely to take care of themselves, to have safer sex, to not say sex just happens to them, as opposed to actually making conscious decisions and going and getting birth control and those kinds of things. But we don't give girls a yes. And even into adulthood, women are struggling with the fact that they never got to say yes in a deep way inside of themselves, you know. So we help women find their yes, I think, is another one of the things that
we do.
Yeah. And it's wonderful to find it in the Inner Beauty Makeover workshop, because it's in a group of women, and
see, I think that's really
all nice. Of us find
really
the yes.
Important. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. It's just so beautiful to support beautiful. Each other emotionally in that way.
It's that sequestering of the sexes that I think is really important. Although I don't know, I mean, I was saying earlier, I went to a military school, and there are two sides to this, but. I liked it partly because my parents both went to those kinds of schools. Mm-hmm. And I can remember my mom when I was young talking. She went to Mills and loved it because it was a time to not, there were no guys around.
Yeah.
And you kind of want that, but, and the same thing happened to me in military school where you're in high school and hormones are raging. And you're forced, I used to call it the cloisters. You're put in the cloisters, you know, you're a little priest guy. And, It was looking back on it, it was a wonderfully healthy thing. The other part that I love is that it eroticized everything. The girls would come from the schools near us, the private schools near us, to these dances, and these buses would come up and the doors would open and they'd be in gowns and with corsages and lots of perfume and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'd just been up in the barracks, you know, smelling manin and clearasil and stuff like that. And you come downstairs and here would be these gorgeous creatures, you know. It didn't matter what anybody looked like. It was just simply so powerfully erotic, because there was even a teacher there who would separate us because we're dancing too closely and that kind of thing. So it really made these for these powerful memories.
Taboo is so wonderful. So yeah. I like to say sometimes I have Catholic envy, you know, because I wasn't brought up with that kind of taboo, sexual taboo. So, like, everything's hot, you know? Like, everything is that you're not supposed to do, so it's, like, secretive and exciting and charged.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fun. It's
if
fun to play with
guilt.
Taboo.
If you take up the guilt.
No, the guilt is part of the whole thing.
Yeah, but you need just a little amount there, otherwise it's, like, overwhelmed.
When
and
I say I have
like
Catholic envy, I don't mean that I really wanted to be brought up Catholic. But I think, you know, I think that the guilt part and the shame part is like, that's part of what
it's
makes
part
it
of the
charged
fun.
Because
yeah,
it makes it taboo.
Right.
You know, so what we don't want is for guilt and shame to become something that makes people not be able to get in touch with their sexuality.
Right.
Or, you know, that's like, you know, I talk to so many people who call themselves recovering Catholics, and usually what they mean is, I finally, you know, enjoyed sex. Because they've been told no for so long.
Yeah, I had a good friend do a whole play called Catholic Girls, Jewish Girls that was about the difference between the two cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, she was Catholic, and it was so funny because it was so dead on, just talking about that New York.
It sounds great. I would love to see that. That's really good.
Like 20 years ago.
I don't know how much longer we're going to make it here, because we have clients in the morning and a little bit of a ride
home. Feel free
to
leave at any time,
But I just want to thank you so much for inviting
thank
us
you.
Here, and it was great to talk to you.
Yeah. And the best part was Mark, actually, calling up. It's always wonderful to talk to somebody who it just connects to.
Yeah.
And
we were so glad to hear from him.
Because then you can help, and that's the... It's so strange when you're a human.
Yes, absolutely.
To try to find that help in a society that doesn't really know where to do that, you know.
Yeah.
So
we would love to help everyone around their sexuality. And one last time, our website is www.celesteanddanielle.com. And you can email us at info@celesteanddanielle.com.
That's one word, of course, in the, in yeah. the new word.
In the new word order.
It's the new word order. Because I was talking to an English teacher who's a friend of mine, just saying, give it up. It's over, you know. Yeah. Punctuation is over. Capitals are over. Yes. You know, I can't imagine how...
I know my dad was looking at his phone today. He's like, soon we're not going to use these second, third, and fourth letters. We're just going to have to use the first three because we're all going to be text messaging each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever the first letter in each word. It's,
right.
It is. It's terrifying. It's a little bit
so
terrifying.
Fast, yeah.
So, yes, one word, CelesteanDanielle.com. So we would love to hear from you. Emails or give us a call. Our number's on the website, and we'd love to talk to you. Thank you again.
Yes, you bet. Thank you.
Thank you.